7 or 8 years ago, I decided that the time had come in my life that I needed to learn a little bit more about the care and maintenance of our family automobiles. So I went to the store and looked for a book that could tell me everything I needed to know, and found one that particularly seemed applicable to my situation. And so I bought a copy of a book entitled Auto Repair for Dummies. And it's a great book. It starts out in the very beginning with a picture of a screwdriver, and underneath it says, "This is a screwdriver," and then it explains what a screwdriver is supposed to do. And then you turn to the next page, and it has a wrench, and it says, "This is a wrench," and shows you how to hold it. And it was very, very good. Anyway, this past week, I decided that I wanted to share it with you. In fact, I planned to bring it this morning. Went out in our garage and looked all over and couldn't find it anywhere, which all by itself was kind of dumb. So on Tuesday, before supper, I left the office and I went over to the Hennepin County Library and figured that I would check it out, because you wouldn't know whether it was my copy or whether it was the library's copy. And I checked in the catalog and found it listed, Auto Repair for Dummies, and took the slip of paper, wrote out the number, went to the stacks and went through the shelves, found the appropriate number, and couldn't find the book. And I don't know a whole lot about the way libraries are organized. I seem to be in the right section, although I'll admit that I went over to another section and found approximately the same numbers there, which I didn't quite understand how that would make sense. And I looked, I was late for supper and we had company for dinner, and finally I had to go. I seriously thought about going over to the librarian and asking for help, and in all honesty could not muster up the courage to go and ask for help to find a book entitled Auto Repair for Dummies. So this morning I have to kind of rely on my memory from having read the book several years ago. And if I recall correctly, there was a chapter in the book about tire wear and care. And it explained that a lot of it has to do with the proper adjustments of the front end of the car, and talks about things like camber and toe in and toe out and all that kind of stuff. And explains that when the wheel's pulling one way or the other, that's an indication that there's something wrong, and that's going to wear out your tires and wear out all the different parts in the front end. And when people pull up to you at a light and say, "I've been following you for the last several miles, or I can't tell which direction your car is going, it sort of tends to go down the road sideways," that's an indication that there's something wrong with the frame or the alignment or whatever. Now, there's some reasons, I understand, for all of this. One is that it's normal wear and tear. So if you drive a car enough miles, an average of, 12 or 15 or 18,000 miles a year, it's inevitable that all of the parts, all of the things are going to wear, including those front end parts that have to do with the way the tires and the wheels go. Or it may be that there's some unexpected trauma that comes to the front end of the car. Now, this is the time of year, they say in Minnesota we have two seasons, and that's winter and potholes, and soon the winter season is going to be over, and you know what that's like when you're driving along the interstate and everything is just fine, and all of a sudden there is a crater like the Grand Canyon in front of you, and you have to instantly make a decision to either go down and up the other side or go around it. And sometimes with that indecision, part of the car goes one way and part of the car goes the other way, and that is a traumatic thing to happen to the front end of the car. Or it may be that you get involved in an accident. I mean, something really serious, so that the car is so bent up that the frame is actually bent. And that, of course, is what produces that thing of the car seemingly going down the road in one direction or the other, but almost sideways. Now, there are a lot of similarities in all of that to our Christian lives, because we also are kind of prone to get out of alignment. And there are a lot of reasons for that, reasons that we get out of alignment with God and with the way we are meant to be. For some of us, it is simply the wear and the tear of all the miles that we drive. I mean, life is lived. And when you live life and you rub shoulders with people and you go places and you do things and you experience life, that has a certain effect on you. It's pretty hard to just keep your equilibrium, keep going on the straight path, keep everything normal and happy, just in living life. So the wear and tear of ordinary life gets us out of alignment. And then there are other experiences in life when we're sailing along, driving along, seeming to think that everything is okay, and we find in front of us some pothole. And, we just can't steer around it. We can't get away from it, and so we hit it. And while up until that point, we were pretty much the way we thought we should be and the way we thought God would want us to be, and pretty well aligned with God, then instantly we seem to be snap out of shape and out of alignment. or in some cases, difficult and tragic cases, we're driving along and from nowhere there is a collision that occurs and an awful crash. And the frame of our lives are bent. And for some people it's the loss of a job. For others it's the death of someone they dearly love. For somebody else it's a divorce or the contracting of some disease. And life is so bent that from that day on, it is extraordinarily difficult to drive in anything that approximates a straight line. And it doesn't even take a friend. It could take the most stranger of observers to watch us in our driving in life's course, and they can say, something has happened to that person. You can tell. You can tell by the way they drive. You can tell by the way they live. You can tell that their frame's bent. They have been through some accident, some difficult trauma. In either case, whether it's the automobile that has its wear and tear or hits a pothole or an accident, or the person who has been through the same experiences, the answer is still the same. And the answer is a need for alignment. The answer is that the wear and tear needs to be corrected. Or there may be a need for some new parts in the front end. Or in some dramatic cases, it may be necessary to put the automobile or our lives on a very special machine that says how far off we are and bends us back into shape again so that it becomes possible for us to be aligned with God and aligned with what God wants us to be. Now, God's alignment design for Christians is spelled out in Romans 8:29 of our shop manual, which speaks of those whom he foreknew and also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Now that's God's design. That's the alignment. That's straight. That's the way God wants us to be. That is the measurement for every relationship and every aspect of our lives. Whether or not we are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, last Sunday and this Sunday, our focus is on spiritual growth. And spiritual growth comes with alignment to God. Now, I want to assume, and I hope it's a correct and a safe assumption, that all of us who are here this morning want to grow spiritually. Some may be growing, some maybe haven't grown for a long time, but I'd like to just take it as a premise that we all want to grow. And based upon that assumption, I'd like us to learn about three alignments which are particularly important for spiritual growth. Alignment number one is holiness. Now, in order to be lined up, there needs to be some kind of standard of what is straight. If you're building a house, the standard is a plumb line. If you're aligning a car, it's an alignment machine. In some areas of science and industry, it's a laser beam. For a Christian, it's God. In 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16, we are instructed, "As he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Now, I find that verses like that tend to scare me off because it says, hey, I'm supposed to be like God. But that's really not what it's saying. We need to understand the ways in which we are to be like God and understand that there are other ways that it is impossible for us to be like God. God is holy in that he is free from sin. And being free from sin, he is pure and able to be all that he is supposed to be. The root idea of holiness is one of being set apart or separated to do something. We might make a comparison to marriage, where we say that in marriage, a person is set apart for her husband or for his wife, so that you don't belong to anyone else. You are someone else's. Only in the sense of husband or wife. You completely belong to that person but to no one else. That's set aside, set apart for that person. In construction, in buildings, including this building, we have certain circuits that are set apart for specific uses and no other uses. So you may be in an office building where there is a dedicated circuit, and that circuit only serves a computer or only serves an alarm system. And you can't use that particular circuit for the vacuum cleaner or the electric pencil sharpener or anything like that. Now that in a sense, is what holiness is. Holiness is being set apart for God. Not that other things are even always bad, but that we're God's. That's the alignment. That's the standard. And particularly that we are set apart from sin, from Satan, from self. We are God's. And as we are holy, as we line up with that divine standard, then we are set free from sin. And being set free from sin, we are then able to become all that God wants us to be. Again, that does not mean that we are to become God. You know, something may be as straight as an arrow. That doesn't mean it becomes an arrow. We may be holy as God is holy. That's not to say that we are to become God. Now, if God's holiness is the standard for our alignment, the divine standard, then we need to have an alignment check. We need to put up the standard of God's purity and God's holiness. And then we need to compare our lives. And we need to see to what extent they match up. For some people, it's relatively close. For other people, the needle tilts almost to the wall. There's hardly any comparison at all. But the standard stays the same. We are the ones who fluctuate, and the needle moves back and forth, comparing and seeing to what extent we align with the divine standard of God. There's some people who haven't been aligned for years. I mean, they are so far off the track that it's hard to even make any type of a comparison. Their needle goes as far to the extent of the meter as it can go, and you only have to guess how much farther it would go if there were an extent that the meter measured. For other people, they've been aligned as recently as this morning, and it's very, very close, only the slightest of fluctuation and only the most minor of adjustments that need to be made. But everybody, according to the Bible, is at least a little bit off, and we are all in continual need of alignment with God. Now, how do we do that? What's the system of adjustment? Well, again, if we can go back to the shot manual, I'd like you to look in your own Bibles with me this morning at 1 John chapter 1. For those who have trouble finding these little books, it's almost the very end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, speak very much of this whole alignment process, telling us that this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. That's the standard. And in him is no darkness at all. That's holiness. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. That means we're out of alignment. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So there we measure up. You know, there we match up. There is alignment. If we say we have no sin, you know, and there are folks that do that. They say, I'm perfectly aligned with God, no sin in my life. If we say that, if we say that we have perfect alignment all the time, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then verse 9 explains the human adjustment to the divine standard. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here's how we get adjusted, regularly adjusted, back to the holiness of God. We confess our sins. So that every one of us as Christians need to regularly go to God and say, God, I'm out of alignment. A lot or a little? And the reason is because of sin. And so I confess that. I admit to it. I agree with you, God, about what I have done. And I repent of that. In other words, I'm willing to throw off all of the sin that's there so that I can be aligned with the holiness of God. And then God promises that he will cleanse our sins, that he will, at that point of confession, line us up perfectly with him. And at that point of confession, then we are indeed holy as he is holy. Not on the basis of our confession, but on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ, as explained here in 1 John 1. But the human adjustment aspect is the confession that we do. So that if we want to grow spiritually, what we must do, and I would recommend that this alignment be done on a daily basis or more often, we must confess our sins to be aligned with God. And what might that include for you? What areas of your life would you say are out of alignment? Now, I asked a few moments ago, we say, there's God's standard of holiness, and there's my life, you know, and there the needle goes. Some of us are pulling off to the left, and some are pulling to the right. Some are completely out of whack, and our frames are bent. What needs to change in your life, in my life, in order to be aligned with God? To what extent have we been living for ourselves rather than for Him? And then, what are the specific sins? Because 1 John 1:9, this human adjustment to the alignment of God, the standard of God, requires specificity, that we name those sins. So, what are they? Pride, greed, lust, hatred, lying, stealing, cheating, adultery, gossip. Whatever the sins that have tilted us to the right or to the left, that have gotten us out of alignment with the holiness of God, we must confess those sins in order to be realigned. So that if we want to grow spiritually, we must make that human adjustment of confession in order to be aligned to the divine standard of holiness. Holiness. That's alignment number one. Alignment number two is will. Now, Jesus demonstrated a very, very powerful truth about alignment in Luke 22:42. I'll not ask you to turn there because, frankly, most Christians, they may not know the reference, but most of us know pretty well what the verse says. It's the eve of Jesus' crucifixion, and he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is going through an agonizing prayer conversation with God the Father about what he is to face the next day on Calvary's cross. And we are given the words of that prayer when Jesus says, "Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Now, the matter of will, we got to do some knowing. And there's some truths to know about alignment of will. In Jesus' case, the first truth to know is your own will, and Jesus knew it. Jesus' will, according to Luke 22:42, was that he not die on the cross. That is what he chose. His will was that he bypass Calvary's cross, the suffering, the agony, the alienation from God, all the things. It was his will not to do that. So he went on record with that. He said, "This is my will." The will of God the Father was that he die on the cross, was that he experience all that agony, all that pain, that he pay the penalty for our sin. So we learn the truth of first knowing your will, and secondly knowing God's will. And then we discover the truth that it is not a sin for our will to differ from God's will. Jesus clearly had a will that was different from God the Father, and he did not sin. So it must not be sin for us either to have a will different from God. All right, so let's try to diagnose our own alignment of will. We have to begin the same place. We have to know our own will. Now, we can answer that for ourselves. Probably that's the easier of the two questions we've got to ask. We need to ask ourselves what we want. And what do you want? What do you want in life? For the whole of life, or for today or tomorrow? You want to be married? Do you want to be single? You want to be healthy? You want to be rich? You want to be famous? You want to be well-educated? You want to get a certain job? You want to have a certain thing happen with your kids or your parents or husband or wife? You want to come to church? You want to stay home? You want to live in the snow belt? Or you want to live in the sun belt? You must first figure out what you want. I think most of us know pretty well what we want in life. And if we could have our wish list of anything, we know our will. The second thing we got to figure out is God's will. What does God want? Does God want you to be married? Or does God want you to be single? Does he want you to be poor? Or does he want you to be rich? Does he want you to live in the snow belt? Or does he want you to live in the sun belt? Now, most of what God's will is told in this book, the Bible. I, estimate 95% plus. And the rest of it can be discovered through the study of God's Word and through prayer and through the counsel of godly Christians. One thing we got to watch out for, though, is rationalization at this point, and a lot of us do it.
A lot of people rationalize my will to become God's will. It's a frequent and a tragic mistake. So people assume that because they want to be healthy, that God wants them to be healthy. They assume that because they want to be married, that God wants them to be married. Or because they want to be unmarried and single, that that's God's will. They try to match all of that up. People assume, we all do, that because I want to change jobs, or I want to move to where it's warm, or because I want to have some possession, that therefore it is God's will what I want. Not necessarily so. So we have to figure out what we want, our will, and what God wants, his will. And we need to understand that it is not sin for them to differ. So I may want something, will something, quite different from what God wills for me. There is no sin in that. The alignment of will begins with this kind of knowing. Knowing my will, knowing God's will, and knowing that it's not a sin for the two to differ. Knowing your will and God's is diagnosis. But submitting is alignment. So spiritual growth comes when we submit our will to God's will and choose not what we want, but what God wants. That's why Jesus prayed, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." Romans 12:2, we read, "Do not be conformed to this world." That is, don't be aligned with this world, but be transformed. Transformed by the renewal of your mind. That is, change your mind. Change your will. Align it with God's. That you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that is alignment. There's a real problem for many of us as Christians, and that is that we're stubborn. We're stubborn and we're proud. And so even if we take the time to delineate what is our will and to discover what is God's will, we find it extraordinarily difficult to submit our will to God's will. And when we fail to submit, our lives increasingly fall out of alignment with Him and the growth stops. But for those who do submit, there's a marvelous promise in Scripture. It's in Psalm 37:4. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So when we align with Him, He gives to us the desires of our hearts, and then God's will becomes our will. We submit our will to God, and we are aligned with Him, and our desires change. Our will, our desires begin then to conform to His, and we want what He wants. It's absolutely fantastic, and it's alignment. Now, if you want to grow spiritually, you must know and you must submit in terms of the alignment of will. How would you do that? Well, what is your will? What do you want? And what is God's will concerning that matter in your life? And what does He want? And then, of course, the big question. Are you willing to submit your will to His will, especially when you know them to be clearly different? If you want to grow spiritually, then it's necessary to submit your will to God's will. And that is alignment number two, the alignment of will. Alignment number three is obedience. It begins with commandments. Now, as with all areas of alignment, the standard is stated in Scripture. God has given us His commandment, and His commandment or commandments are quite clear and quite definite. He's told us all kinds of things of what He wants of us, from love to prayer to morality to belief. In fact, God's commandments are so important to us that they are incorporated in the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20. We typically are prone to quote the beginning of it, saying, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." But still in the same sentence, it continues, "teaching them to observe all that I command you." So the Great Commission and being a disciple of Jesus Christ incorporates obedience to God's commandments, alignment with them. Maybe for you, for me, that starts to get kind of tough. And so we say to ourselves and sometimes to other people, you know, it's one thing to confess. I mean, I find that hard to do. I get a little embarrassed going back to God on a daily basis and having to be aligned over and over again to His holiness and having committed the same sins. I find that that's not always a pleasant thing to do. I'd rather do other parts of praying and Christian living. But we say, okay, well, I'll do that. I mean, I'll go to God and I'll say, I'll confess so that I'll be aligned to Your holiness. And then the matter of will, that is even more difficult. I mean, it's tough to say, I want with all my heart, and God wants something different. And even after I recognize it, I find it harder still to submit my stubborn and prideful will to God's will and to say, all right, I then submit, I choose what God wants. That's a lot. That's a lot of alignment, and that's tough. And then we go on to say, but look, you've gone too far when you talk about this business of obedience to all of God's commandments. That's a little heavy. God has a lot of commandments. I used to think there were 10. I've discovered there are a whole lot more, and God wants me to do all of these things. How possibly can I do it? It's more than rightfully ought to be asked. You see, we've begun to misunderstand, though. It isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing to obey God's commandments. I like the words in 1 John 5:3, that this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Isn't that a fascinating description? His commandments are not burdensome. Recently, when we were in South America for 2 weeks, we had use of a Toyota Land Cruiser. And if you don't know what that is, it's sort of like a Jeep. It's really sort of the design of the British Land Rover that you might typically think of safaris taking across Africa. It's really quite an amazing vehicle. Well, driving down a one-way dirt road in Colombia, I, at the wheel, came to another vehicle coming the other way, not desiring a collision and figuring that the courteous and probably safest thing to do was for me to pull off the road. I did so, into a ditch. And after the other vehicle went by, I was stuck. So it was a four-speed and a pretty powerful little truck-type vehicle. I put it in low gear and spun forward, put it in reverse and spun backwards, and went nowhere, stayed stuck in the ditch. Actually, I dug the ditch a little bit deeper than it was before. And then I looked over, and on the dashboard, on the cover to the glove box, were some simple instructions on how to shift that vehicle from two-wheel drive into four-wheel drive, and then had another option on axle ratio, where not only in four-wheel drive, but there could be an extra low axle ratio, so it was possible to put it in four-wheel drive in the low part of the axle and in first gear. So I did it. Pretty simple thing to do, just another lever over on the floor on the side of the transmission. Having done that, put it in first gear, I just right out of the ditch, no trouble at all. What I did, simply, was follow the directions. And when I followed the directions, I then had access to power and accomplishment, which I didn't before, when I had inadequate access to power and I had no accomplishment. Now, it's pretty much the same way in our obedience to God. His instructions, His commandments, are not there to be a heavy trip for us. They're not meant to be burdensome. They are meant to get us where we need to go. And we discover that when we conform to the instructions or the commandments of God, it is then that we have the power to get out of the ditches of life that we cannot get out of by our own strength. God's commandments are our instructions to get out of life's ditches. His commandments are not burdensome. But alignment comes not from just knowing the commandments, but complying with them. So Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So again, we have a standard, and the standard is the set of commandments in God's word. And we have alignment. And alignment is when we comply with the commandments or the instructions that God has given to us. So He commanded us to tell the truth. If we love Him, we'll tell the truth. He has commanded us as husbands to love our wives. If we love Him, we will love our wives and demonstrate that. He has commanded us to be baptized. If we love Him, we'll be baptized. He has commanded us to pray. If we love Him, we will pray. He has commanded us to serve others. If we love him, we will serve others. He has commanded us to be a witness to him, to represent him in our family, in our community, in business. If we love him, we will witness. Well, how then do you line up? How do you line up number three? I think there may be a tendency to be kind of overwhelmed by it all, to say, oh, Pastor, you know, I mean, I'm so far out of alignment. This whole thing gets a little embarrassing to even think and talk about. Oh, it doesn't need to be like that. What would you say if you were asked to list one or two areas in terms of obedience where you might be aligned with God? Just one or two. What might they be? In matters of honesty or baptism or telling the truth or not cheating or serving or praying or witness. What might be the commandment or two or three where you know you're out of alignment, but by God's grace you'd be willing to comply? List it and then decide of whether or not you're willing to obey, to follow the instructions. And you'll discover, and it's great, you'll discover that you not only get out of the ditch, but you're more likely to stay on the road. That if you want to grow spiritually, comply with God's commandments. That's alignment number three. Well, we started talking about auto repair for dummies, and we've ended up talking about spiritual repair for smarties. And that's what we want to be. That's what I want to be. And I believe that's what you want to be. I believe that you want to grow spiritually, that you want to be conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you to take advantage of a special alignment offer that God is offering this week. All three alignments available to all of us. Holiness through confession. Will through submission. Obedience through compliance. Be smart. Be aligned with God. Our Father, you are the standard, and we know that. We may have started out discouraged how far out of line we were with you, the perfect and holy standard. But frankly, now we are encouraged that you have given to us a special alignment offer, and we will now each respond to that offer, deciding to be freshly aligned with you, and making a commitment that we will seek from this day forward daily alignment in terms of holiness, of will, and of obedience, that we may be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.